morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the R Systems Q4 CY16 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sagar Lely for Motilal Oswal Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, I welcome all the participants to the R Systems 4Q and year-ending 2016 earnings conference call. Joining us on the call from the senior management of R Systems are Mr. Reki Singh, the Managing Director, Lieutenant General Baldev Singh, President and Senior Executive Director, Mr. Nand Sabdana, the CFO, Mr. Raviraj Jain, the CTO, and Mr. Kumar Gaurav, AVP Finance and Accounts. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Kumar Gaurav for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for attending our system investor call to discuss quarter 4 and year 2016 results. I am going to first read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. The investors are cautioned that this presentation may include forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainties. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any of such statements. These statements may undertake revision because of future information, new event, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Now with this, I am handing over to Mr. Reki for his opening comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being a part of this investor call for the fourth quarter and the year 2016. First of all, I would like to present an overview of our systems for the benefit of all those who are joining us for the first time. Our systems was established in 1993 in California as a software engineering company and is now spread across three continents with 15 development and service centers worldwide. Our system delivers digital transformation services with new types of innovation and creativity to business in various industries, telecom and digital media, healthcare, finance, manufacturing and supply chain, and state governments in US. Our deep industry domain knowledge combined with our expertise in big data, advanced analytics, mobility, IoT, and cloud help in transformation of businesses in this digital age. The value we help create is comparable to the oyster delivering the pearl. The oyster pearl metaphor lies at the heart of what we do for our stakeholders and is reflected in our tagline, caring, innovating, and transforming. In this value-centric philosophy, it is this value-centric philosophy that helps us in our success. During the year 2016, we reported revenues of rupees 588 crores. This is an increase of 7.5%, excluding the impact of the sale of Indus product business. The EBITDA for the year was rupees 71 crores, which is 12.1% as against 11.8% last year. Profit after tax was rupees 54 crores, which is increase of 15.3%, excluding the exceptional items. We served $21 million plus customers during 2016, and an additional 16 key customers were added, out of which 5 have a potential to be USD million dollar plus customers. We've also added about 250 associates during the year to serve these customers and to take care of our pipeline. The margins have improved despite the investment that we have done in digital technologies, sales and marketing. This is primarily on the back of improved efficiency, as average utilization for the year 2016 was about 77%. Telecom and digital media continues to be our largest industry vertical, with a share of 29% of revenues. We continue to have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of rupees 278 crores and cash and bank balances of rupees 120 crores. With this, I will now hand over to Nand, our CFO, to provide a detailed financial analysis to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reki. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope everyone had the opportunity to review our performance of quarter four and the year 2016. I'll first give my comment on the financial performance, which will be followed up by Avirat's comment on the operations, and then final summing up by Mr. Reki, and then Q&A session. The presentation gives details of both quarter four and year 2016. I'll quickly cover quarter four and then move to year 2016. Let me go into detail each line of our profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was ₹153.40 crores or $22.75 million, quarter-to-quarter increase of 6.45%. It is mainly due to volume increase. We added four key customers during the quarter. Getting out to gross margin, it was 34.93% in this quarter compared to 34.09% last quarter, an improvement of 84 basis points. Improvement in gross margin percentage mainly due to improved utilization as offset by provision for retirement benefit and year-end incentives. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter-on-quarter by rupees 71 lakh. It was rupees 33.90 crore in this quarter compared to 33.19 crore last quarter. The increase is mainly due to increase in sales and marketing costs and year-end provisions. As a percentage of sales, it has actually reduced from 33.03% in quarter three to 22.10% in this quarter. EBITDA in this quarter was rupees 19.69 crores or $2.92 million compared to rupees 15.94 crores or $2.38 million last quarter, and rupees 15.08 crore or $2.27 million in Q4 2015. As percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 12.83% in this quarter compared to 11.06% last quarter and 10.34% in Q4 2015. Improvement in EBITDA is due to improvement in gross margin, as I have getting down to the deposition, the total expense was rupees 2.89 crores compared to rupees 2.98 crores last quarter. Exception item comprised of rupees 4.63 crores related to gain on sale of balance share in Indus business, which was sold last year. Interest expense is rupees 4.10 lakhs in this quarter compared to rupees 3.30 lakhs last quarter. Other income in this quarter was rupees 3.21 crores compared to rupees 3.45 crores in last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and exchange gains. Our tax expense was rupees 6 crores in this quarter as against rupees 5.61 crores last quarter. Net profit after tax was rupees 18.60 crores or $2.76 million compared to rupees 10.77 crores or $1.61 million last quarter. Coming on to yearly numbers, revenue for the year was rupees 588.24 crores or $87.55 million compared to rupees 605.03 crores last year. The yearly revenue is impacted by sale of Indus product business. Excluding the impact of sale of Indus product business, revenue has grown by 7.5%. This is a result of volume increase and rupee depreciation. We added 16 key accounts during the year, and full impact of these clients will come next year. Getting down to gross margin, it was 34.85% in this year compared to 34.58% last year, an improvement of 27 basis points. The improvement in gross margin is mainly due to improvement in utilization and rupee depreciation as offset by the impact of change in salaries. Getting on to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses have decreased by rupees 3.84 crore. It is rupees 133.88 crore in 2016 as against 137.72 crores in 2015. In percentage term, SG&A was flat. Main reason for absolute decrease in SG&A is was sale of Indus as offset by investment in sales and marketing. EBITDA in 2016 was rupees 71.13 crores or $10.58 million compared to rupees 71.51 crores or $11.15 million in 2015. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 12.09% in 2016 compared to 11.82% last year. This year, EBITDA margin has mainly improved on the back of disciplined execution even after absorbing the investment in digital capabilities. We are working to further improve this by at least 100 basis points. Getting on to depreciation, the technical expense was rupees 11.51 crores compared to 14.02 crores last year. Depreciation is low mainly due to sale of Indus business. Exception items were same as I explained in Q4. Interest expense is rupees 13.60 lakhs in 2016 compared to 11.30 lakhs last year. Other income in 2015 was rupees 11.57 crores compared to rupees 9.81 crores in 2015. This year we had an exchange gain of rupees 4.19 crores compared to rupees 3.12 crores last year. During the year 2016, rupee fluctuated between rupees 66.07 to rupees 68.86 against US dollar and rupees 70.58 to rupees 77.50 against euro. These are the two main currencies for our system. As at Q4, we have total power cover of $14.7 million with average rate of rupees 70.59 and euro cover of $1.4 million with average rate of rupees 80, which have already been marked to market at closing rate of 31st December. Further, the other income was augmented by interest income of rupees 5.68 crore this year compared to 4.62 crore last year. Our tax expense was rupees 22 crore this year as against tax of rupees 29.66 crores last year. Effective tax percent for 2016 is 29.07% as against 23.07% during last year. Barring the exception item, which was subject to lower tax rate last year, there is no significant change in the effective tax rate. Net profit after tax was rupees 53.69 crores or $8 million compared to rupees 97.83 crore or $15.25 million for 2015. Excluding exception item, the net profit has grown by 15.3%. Getting down to asset side in the balance sheet, total receivable at the end of December 31st, 2016 were rupees 108.22 crores compared to rupees 104.63 crores at the end of December 15. Receivable in terms of DSO were 55 days as at December 16 compared to 57 days as at December 15. Cash and bank balance were rupees 120 crores compared to rupees 92.2 crores at the end of December 15. We have been constantly generating cash from the business, which is reflecting in higher cash balances. Our system shareholder fund were rupees 278 crores at the end of December 16 compared to 242.86 crores as at the end of December 15. With that, let me hand over to Avirat for review of operations.
Thank you, Nan. Thank everybody for being on the call. I would like to give you a brief overview of our global operations. As stated by Mr. Reki, we continue to put effort on our key verticals, that is telecom, digital media, banking, healthcare, manufacturing, and U.S. government projects. And we have invested in the deep domain knowledge in these verticals. We are further strengthening our skills in analytics, mobility, IoT, and cloud. We see a lot of potential with our existing clients and newer leads that we are getting. There is a good amount of traction in these segments. On mobility front, we continue to work on all the platforms that are there in the market, be it Android, iOS, hybrid, or other sites. So, and we have good client right now, referenceable client, and we see good traction in this area. On front of analytics, we have been investing on analytics for last about over about 2 years. Now our platform is ready. We have participated in various conferences, industry conferences. We have a good funnel. with our existing and new clients, and we see this as a to be a future growth area for us. In terms of new clients, we have added 4 key customers. One of them is the U.S. Large technology company, where they have engaged us to develop POC for their customer engagement that may lead to newer growth in new technology area. Another client is a U.S.-based management consulting company who does HR software for federal agencies. We have started working for them, and we see this to be a growing client for us. IBIS acquired a new customer, which is Singapore-based lifestyle brand management company, and it is primarily for implementing the Dynamics ERP solution along with mobility solution that we have. ECNet again got a new client in Singapore, which is a manufacturing company, and we will be rolling out the Infosys Sightline ERP for them for their Thailand operation, and we have done it for Singapore as well earlier. So these are the 4 key clients. In terms of headcount, we have added 250 headcount in 2016, that is substantial addition of numbers. Utilization, we have improved from 75% to 78%. On annual basis by geography, U.S. contribute right now 59%, 59.2%, Europe 18%, Southeast Asia 17%, and rest of the world 5%. On client concentration, top 10 client is about 33% now, with the largest client 6.7%. With that brief overview, I will hand over back to Mr. Rekhi for his closing comments. Over to Rekhi ji.
Thank you, Abhirag. Let me sum up. We've had a satisfactory performance in 2016, and we continue to focus on our core IT services. We are investing in building digital capabilities around analytics, cloud, mobile, and IoT around our focused verticals. Recently, we expanded our infrastructure by adding new SEZ facility at Greater Noida to cater to our growth. The year 2017 started with certain geopolitical challenges, which we are watching. We are cautiously monitoring the environment because, however, the digital transformation will continue to be our driving force going forward. Our strategy for 2017 is to continue to be customer-centric, to bring innovation and value to our clients. We will continue to enhance our sales and marketing bandwidth and focus on profitable growth while intensifying our investment into innovation around people, processes, and technologies. We will leverage digital capabilities to achieve penetration for our services and solutions. We are maintaining a strong balance sheet to invest for organic and inorganic growth. That brings us to the end of our presentation today. And I will hand you back to the organizers for any questions and questions that you might have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. We'll take the first question from the line of Mohan Krishna Swami from Crest Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just on the emerging scenario which is happening in the U.S., can you give us a sense of our employee base in the U.S. and how do we plan to address the scenarios which are building up, and how much do we have on H-1B visas there?
Mr. Swami, most of our business, as you know, is offshore business.
Okay.
So to that extent, I think there is some talk of outsourcing tax, but that is not yet crystallized.
some portion of our business in US is from on-site H1, which is very, very small portion of our business. What we feel is that the people who are deployed are highly skilled and expert in digital technologies, and should not be much of a problem. But as of now, there is not much clarity on that. We're still watching the situation. So if it becomes very strict, there may be some impact, but as of now, we don't see any major impact on that.
Okay. And
Mr. Krishnaswamy, also remember there's a lot of rhetoric, some tweets, but the thing is, all this has to go through legislation, which will take its time. And the larger companies are also needing talent for their own innovation.
Correct.
So we have to watch and not get over worried about this.
And in terms of the macro environment there, if one looks at the intentions of the new government, I mean, it seems to be to revive business there. So do you think there's going to be a better business environment for our kind of products, forgetting this immigration issue?
The challenge is people are not available in the United States. The reason why they have the H-1B program and why outsourcing is working is because people are not available. That talent is not there. The Americans are really not doing the math and the engineering kind of programs.
Okay.
So that need is there, that vacuum is there. So I think we should not worry too much. Let's see how it goes along.
Yeah, but in terms of the business environment, do you think that will pick up? Because a lot of American companies, if they start doing well, if the regulations come down for the banking space or other industries, you think they could invest more in technology and digital space? I mean, are you getting some feelers that there's more work pipeline which could emerge in the next couple of years?
I mean, more work for us?
Yeah. I mean, for the IT industry in general.
I am not seeing anything new or anything different in that regard. It is business as usual. That's what I am seeing.
Okay.
Just to add, Mr. Krishnaswamy, as we have said, that we are investing a lot of our resources in new digital technologies, analytics, mobility, cloud. In fact, we have a team of 20 resources at Noida, which, adds on these new technologies. They talk to our existing customers. We are getting a lot of, good feedback on that. And to answer that, we feel that, this is going to be the next driver for growth in our business in ISV segment.
Sure. That is not because of the new administration. That is generally which is happening on its own course.
Fair. Okay. That's about it right now.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. We take the next question from the line of Bhavik Tripathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations. I think it was a good quarter given all the circumstances. So I was wondering that we've had, the sales has been very flat and downward for the last 2-3 years because we sold off Indus and this and that. So now, what is the strategy? Because on paper, when you look at the company, everybody looks at 10 years and 5 years. It doesn't look good that you are there's a dip in revenues. So I'm sure you have a strategy, and I'm sure you're maintaining margins in what you're doing. But also for overall growth, what is the strategy? Because we do want to see that top line is growing along with the bottom line and the EBITDA. So I would like some clarity on overall strategy for top-line growth.
So, Bhavuk, we added 16 key customers last year, and we'll be able to mine a few of them, which will become larger. We're also looking at inorganic growth. There are some opportunities on the radar. And then overall, we are trying to improve our domain knowledge and our technology knowledge and getting into the new areas, as we have said a few times, of analytics, cloud, IoT. I think that should cover us for the next few years.
So when you say cover up, I mean, you know, let's say we had touched around 100 million or 105 or whatever was the peak, and we are now, right now at a run rate of probably around 90 or, you know, I don't know what the latest one takes us to run rate. What I'm saying is that obviously you have a strategy that you want to focus on what you're doing and dig deeper and, you know, increase the margins. But that has to be in some kind of growth. So you're saying you're looking at organic, so probably that will add. What I'm talking about is that how do we get the 20-30% growth that will, you know, will take us back into being a high growth company. The one big challenge we have in terms of market valuation, and why market valuation is important, is because that is, again, I've told repeatedly, that's a currency in our hands in terms of acquisitions or mergers or whatever that we're looking to do. So it is important, and why the market is discounting us at the valuations that it is because it doesn't, the numbers don't speak as if it's we are on a path. So it is important that along with the, you know, the 16 new customers may mean that you have $2 million of new business over the next 2 years, which is fine for the organic, you know, that you've been looking at those numbers in the past. But along with that, we have sold off a large chunk of our business. And at that point, it was a profitable business. So now I'm saying we definitely need to look at a strategy. And the reasons for that are that not just, yes, you've done well in your business, in your core business. But small-sized companies are always going to get a discount. And with the kind of revenue, so being at 99, neither does it make a lucrative enough as a M&A kind of a area. We are not in that space. And at the same time, it remains lowly discounted because it's a low volume. So that's why I'm hoping and urging that we can get some major growth in revenues. And, of course, in the right direction. I'm not saying go and just get revenues for the sake of revenue. So it is important. So how you do it, I mean, that's, I'm sure the management, I was looking to understand that strategy a little more, that how do we go, you know, if we were doing growth, we would be at 130, 140 million if we were 100 2 years ago, if it was a 10, 15% growth per annum. So how do we do that? There has to be a step, kind of a large step taken to take us in that direction. So I was just wondering if there is a strategy in place for that.
All very good thoughts. As we said, out of the 16 customers we added, 5 are potential $1 million accounts. Then we are looking at some acquisitions. So if we even do a $10 million acquisition, again, I'm not committing anything, but just hypothetically, and those $5 million, 5 customers give us $1 million each, we've got the growth you're looking for. And we're also wanting to get back to the magical number of 100 million. You know, selling the Indus product business actually gave us a dip, and your concerns are very valid, and I think we need to come back to at least the magical number and then move forward from there.
Yes, you know, the point you make about the acquisition for 10 million, in the past, the acquisitions have not always played out really well, right? I mean, some of them do, some of them don't. So one is, I would, again, a lot of caution in the acquisition so that those numbers which are there and the EBITDA that we buy into then is sustainable. I'm sure you will be prudent when you look at all that. But typically, we've always seen that whether it was Computaris or whether it was, you know, ECNet, or everything doesn't always pan out. So that is a risk you take when you acquire. But I'm just hoping that we can put together a strategy that there is a lot of opportunity in U.S. right now. And despite all these worries about H-1B, you are precisely right that where do they find the replacement? Let's say you want to bring those people back here. Then if they set a limit of 130,000, then either the customers have to be willing to bear that cost. So the U.S. economy will have to bear the cost. So I don't understand what the whole worry is about, because you're not going to suddenly out of magic find those people in U.S. who can do that job which these guys are doing. So either the U.S. companies will have to pay for that, or that job will get unattended. So I really don't consider that as a worry. I do think this is a time of opportunity where people are hesitant. They feel that, you know, the heavens could fall in U.S. I think it's a great opportunity to be expanding in the U.S. So I would, you know, look for acquisition targets within the U.S. also, if there are, and I'm sure you are looking for them. So, yeah, overall, I think the company is doing extremely well in your core business. You're maintaining your margins. You're growing your margins. And Noida is doing very well. I don't know what your... of course, there were a couple of... You know, you had written off some amounts. Mr. Sardana, you had written off some amounts in Europe because, you know, there was a... have you written that back? You remember we had talked about that a couple of times in calls that because the customer had put a claim, so though we had the money with us, so we had written it off. Has there been a conclusion to that issue?
Bhavuk, as per the, that was a Polish customer, as per the Polish law, actually the matter is settled now, but the point is that we had provided that if we write back now, it's 650 euros, so around 4.5 crore rupees, if we write back before 6 years, we are supposed to pay tax on that. So, but the limitation period there is 6 years. So I think almost 4 years have passed. So after 2 years, if we write back, which I think rightly we can, then there won't be any tax on that. So we are just waiting for the limitation period of 6 years to expire, which is going to happen sometime after 18th, December 18th. So we will do it at that time. We are not in a hurry to do that.
Okay. And what about with Indus? Now, we had some bonds or debentures or whatever that, you know, they were paying us some interest on. And there was then there was some repayment. So the last annual, you know, this quarterly results, I saw some that they have repaid, prepaid that money. Is that true that they have prepaid that money?
No. They are not prepaid. Bhavuk, everything is going as per the plan. If you recall, the 93% share was sold in July 15. The 7% share money was pending. So we got this money last November, the 7% balance share. So this was the capital portion. In addition, there is a debenture portion of 36 crore, which carries 8% interest. Out of that 36 crore, the first installment was due in July 16. We have received that 9 crore rupees along with interest. The next installment of 9 crore is due in July 17. So as of now, we have 9 × 3, 27 crore outstanding. The first 9 crore will got July 17 we receive, and then July 18 and July 19. But they are paying along with interest. So we are earning 8% interest on that. So as of now, there is no concern on that.
Is that a dollar or is that in rupees?
It's in rupees. It's packed. Actually, this is an Indian company. So the, all these things are packed in rupees. That is, the venture money is in rupees.
Okay. So are you showing that in your cash and cash equivalents or is that reported?
Oh, yes. No. The venture thing is, see, today I have to receive 27 crores as the venture. That's receivable from the vendor. That is not shown in cash, so that is extra money which I have to receive. But that is something which will be paid to me over a period of time.
No, because when you say cash and cash equivalents, so normally debt instruments, some of them. So I was just wondering, in your cash and cash equivalents, you're not showing that.
No, this 120 crore which I am showing is not, this 27 crore is not part of that.
Okay, so that is separate from that.
Right? That is separate, that is right.
Okay, so I think yeah, the only, again, point I'd emphasize is I think you it was brilliant what you did with the buyback last time. It has added value and it has been a very efficient way of rewarding shareholders. So it's a very tax-efficient way for everybody. So I'm glad you did that. And I'm hoping that we can get on a growth trajectory because otherwise the management team has been delivering really well. So as shareholders, we're very proud of the work that is being done. And I think the primary task is that without making mistakes, I mean, I'm not saying go buy something which will hurt us, with, but a good growth, organic and inorganic, is will be like the icing on the cake now. If we can deliver that, then it would be obviously, it will add to our... market capitalization, and that, as I've repeatedly said, that is a very potent currency in our hands whenever we want to do anything in the future. So those are primarily my remarks, and again, congratulations once again to all of you.
Thank you, Bhavuk.
Thank you, Bhavuk, for all your positivity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sagar Lele from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just wanted to understand how you see budgets for your clients shaping up going ahead. Could you give some insights into how the discussions so far have been around, which areas they want to spend in and your readiness in those areas in the coming year?
Sagar, most of our business, especially the ISV business, is a recurring business. So here, normally the budgets of most of the clients get fixed up in December or January. So we do not see, any major change in the budget. So that is all fine. Some kind of a tapering in, some of the customer will happen. Some will, do more and some will do less. But I think the recurring business is all on track. In fact, around 95% of business is a repeat business, so we do not see any challenge in that.
Fair enough. Also, good show on the customer additions. You added 16. Just wanted to know how many of these were because of your foray into newer technologies, or how much of the services that you'd be offering to these customers would be centric to, the investments you're making at the moment.
So out of the 16, about 4 to 5 are new technology area. Digital media is one of the key where we have got good clientele. And our marketing and sales is aligned towards these areas. So we see newer addition, further this year again to be from the similar areas.
All right. Are you calling out probably a percentage of the revenue or the incremental revenue that you got during the quarter that came from newer areas?
Sagar, the new business we get, I would say at least one-fourth of the business we get is from the newer technologies, and the balance is the traditional business. And on an overall basis, from an ISV segment, I would say at least 7 to 10% of the business is coming from the newer technologies.
Got it. Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We'll take the follow-up question from the line of Sagar Lele from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
So just one more question. I wanted to understand how your margins would look like in the next year, given the fact that you've been making investments throughout last year, but I'd expect obviously that to continue in the coming year as well, given the shift in the business that you're looking forward to make. So do you see profitability stabilizing at current levels, or would that be largely dependent on revenue growth being strong? Like in this quarter, there was strong revenue growth and hence margins kind of, followed through. So just wanted to get a sense of your expectations for the next year.
Well, Sagar, I explained in my presentation also, we have done 12.09% EBITDA in this year. And this is despite a lot of investment being made in newer technologies. We have a team of 25 guys who kind of keep on doing our innovation and R&D efforts. In addition, we have invested a lot in sales and marketing also. You are right. Actually, as soon as growth comes, this helps in improvement of gross margin and it flows to EBITDA. We will continue to do these investments, but I see that at least 100 basis point improvement I definitely see in this year from the present numbers.
Got it. All right. Thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Mohan Krishna Swami from Crest Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of geographies where we are looking at growth, any particular focus, whether it's going to be Europe or US, and because we have been focusing on the digital transformation much earlier than the typical service companies. So do you think we are better placed in addressing the growth coming in these markets?
Well, Mr. Krishnaswamy, as you know, U.S. has been the biggest market for us. Approximately 50% of the business comes from the U.S. That is definitely a focus area, and you know, we definitely get very good rates. Europe is also equally a good market. In fact, we get a lot of business from U.K. and other European countries. So I think 60% from the U.S. and around 18-19% from the Europe. So around around 80% of the business, and when I say USA, I include Canada as well. So between around 80% of the business, I feel maybe a little bit more, will be coming from North America and European markets.
Okay. And our focus remains, we are not looking at anything different, any other geographies at this point.
See, we have our presence in Southeast Asia also, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia. There we are doing ERP kind of business, as well as we have our ECS supply chain. So that market is also there. But for this pure software development and ISV kind of a business, we feel this North America and Europe market is what we will focus on.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavuk Tripathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I think I forgot about ECNet. Can you give me some more idea of how ECNet is doing? What are the plans for that business? Because that has been, for a very long time, it's been kind of a stagnant and that kind of business. So is there any activity? And what about the new acquisition in Singapore that we did? What's the status on that on a standalone basis? How's that doing? So ECNet and that one, and also about Computers. So what in these subsidiaries, how we are doing, I'd just like a general idea on that.
Yes. Bhavuk, first of all, let me touch on the Singapore. As you know that we recently acquired IBIS, which is into Microsoft ERP business. That acquisition has come out very well for us. They have done this year close to $5.5 million in US dollar term, I'm saying, with around 9% EBITDA. In fact, it is $5.8 million with around 9% EBITDA. So that acquisition has come out very well. And in addition, they have offices in Malaysia, Indonesia. ECNet also, as you know, is spread across. When I say ECNet, it is that ERP business also, and put together our consulting Singapore business also. So overall, put together, our Singapore business as of now is, in US dollar terms, is $16 million in USD terms, and the EBITDA is close to, I think, 500,000. So that is, the EBITDA is not very good, but I think broadly we are doing okay because it's giving us a lot of reach in Southeast Asia region.
But you just mentioned 5.5 million with 9% margin, so that approximately is $500,000 EBITDA in IBIS. So that means the ECNet again is making no EBITDA.
No. Let me just rephrase. I think what I was saying was 500,000 for IBIS. ECNet has also ECNet and other businesses. Other than IBIS, businesses also done close to 200,000 EBITDA this year.
Yeah, but what is what else is there? ECNet, and what else do you have in Singapore?
In ECNet, we have within ECNet we have another ERP business. We are reseller for Infor business, so that business is put along with ECNet. In addition, we are doing some consulting business also in our system Singapore or ECNet put together. So put together, we have done close to 200,000 EBITDA this year.
So that means you've done around $11 million in sales, because you said $16 million is the total from Singapore.
$10 million from ECNet business with 200,000 approximate EBITDA, to be precise.
That is 2%.
Yeah.
So what is the exact benefit of that for our systems? Why do we keep that on our books? Because, I mean, that obviously it is dragging down our EBITDA margins. It is a drag on a thing. So what is the, I would like to understand that more deeply, that why is ECNet important for us?
Bhavuk, as you know that with ECNet, start of ECNet only, you know, we got our footprint into Southeast Asia, our presence in this region. I agree with your concern that it has not been able to make, too much profit. But I think as of now, it's not drained on us. It is still making some profit. And with addition of new business of IBIS, we are in this market close to $16 million. So that is adding to our revenues. You also said that we make revenues.
Revenue is right, but I mean, I'm not saying that you... So if $10 million is producing 200,000 EBITDA, that doesn't make sense, right? So what I'm saying is that I think you should review that properly, the ECNet part of the business, that in terms of technology or in terms of fit into our overall, you know, how does it fit into ours? Because it's a different set of business that we're doing, right? It's manufacturing and all of that kind of stuff. So it really is not our core business. So I think there should be a strict review of that. And we should analyze that if it is a drag on us, that can we replace that with a business that could be far more, you know, suitable for us. So, and if the foothold is in Southeast Asia has been achieved, then we should then again look at that. So I'm just saying that overall, ECNet has always been, and I remember you had some debt with them and that you converted that to equity. So there's been a lot of resources that have gone into ECNet. And that's something I leave to the management, that you need to review that carefully and understand that what we want to do with that. Because if it's just basically it's break even, sometimes it goes a little negative, sometimes 200,000 positive, but that's not the core part of our business. So low margin, not core. So that's something I think that needs to be reviewed. What about Computers?
Computers has done well, actually, this year. They have done, in I would say in US dollar terms, $14.5 million with the EBITDA of close to 9%. They have done well. Although compared to last year, they are $1 million down. But what has happened is that last year there was some third-party revenue. So this time that is not there. And at the last quarter, you know, they kind of, some order got postponed to, you know, next year. So otherwise, on EBITDA front, they are doing close to 9%. The growth has been a bit of challenge. They lost one or two orders in the middle of the year and some order got postponed to next year. But they are not, I mean, they are making around 9% EBITDA.
Okay, so I think, like I said, that means the core business that you have out of Noida, you know, operates at maybe an EBITDA margin of 25 or 30%, and then you have these other businesses which are operating at, from 1 or 2% to 9%, 10%. So that's why I'm saying that some of these, how crucial they are to our, pivotal they are to our business, and whether we should then focus on some other acquisition. So revenues, yes, and I was very clear when I said, yes, we do need revenues. Those revenues should be accompanied by robust margins and a growth over time, right? So when you did make a decision to get rid of Indus, I think the margins at that point were really good of Indus and they were growing. But whatever, that's a management's prerogative. You decided that was not part of the core. But then we should carefully look at what is in our portfolio. And I'm sure you will. This is just a suggestion. I think you should look at what is in our portfolio and in what way it is impacting our margins, our revenues, and overall perception of the company. Because if you were a 20% EBITDA margin company overall, there'll be a totally different perception, revenue growth and high margin business, than a business that is 10% or 12% or 13%. Then it somehow gives the image of not a really high-tech company, that you're doing run-of-the-mill kind of work. So that's, again, just another suggestion on that.
Yeah, good suggestion, Rahul. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sagar Lele for his closing comments.
On behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, I thank all the participants who have joined today's call and the management for giving us the opportunity to host it. Have a good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motilal Oswal Securities, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.